A food blog that hit the internet in May is aiming to promote and sustain the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market. Stephanie Davidson and Jennifer Swartout are the writers behind Legit Local, giving people who wander the farmers market a little direction on what to buy and then what to do with it. Swartout thinks a minority of people going to the market utilize the market effectively.
There's a lot of people that come to the market, but they're not necessarily shopping for all their groceries. So there's a lot of traffic. I would say there's probably a hardcore group of folks that come in and they look forward to buying the vegetables and the fruits and other crafts at the market every week. But I would say it's a minority of people who really get all of their vegetables locally at the market. It takes a little bit of effort.
Yeah. So why is that? Is it the effort? Is it the time involved to actually?
I think it's a combination of things. Part of the reason that we started the blog was actually because trying to piece together meals out of what's in season is sometimes hard when you're not used to knowing what's in season. You know, and the market's going to show you with a little bit of extension on either side for the farmers that have like greenhouses and hoop houses that can extend seasons. I mean, you know, otherwise they can't be giving us carrots right now. But it can be hard to figure out what you're supposed to do with a ton of tomatoes and basil and turnips, which don't go well together, by the way.
that was my next question.
No.
What would you do with basil, tomato, and turnips?
No.
Two different meals.
Yeah, all right, okay.
I'm sure there's something out there that someone does. That's great. But and I think that it's often very intimidating. You know, that I don't know about you, Steph, but I've certainly, because I find all of this, when I walk up, I just fall in love with all of it. And so I come home with quantities of food that way exceed what my household potentially can eat, which is why one of the reasons why I started to have to freeze and preserve things. But I think, understandably, they're busy. Their weekends are busy. And when they come to the market, it can be pretty overwhelming. Like, how do I plan this? What do I use it for? And so that understandably makes people kind of grazers or visitors rather than shoppers.
So with your blog, Legit Local, it's at legitlocal.blog. Are you aiming for practical? You're trying to give people a plan so that when they come to the farmers market, they know they need some of this, some of that, and some of the other thing in order to go home and prepare something, Stephanie?
Yeah, so one of the things I was trying to do, and I've not been as consistent as I wanted to be, was to have this market menu post each week that ideally would go up midweek and give people just some options for breakfasts that were, you know, using local ingredients, lunches, dinners, and linking out to other sites. We didn't feel like we needed to be creating recipes all the time and posting those. But sometimes it's just a combination. Like, if you've never tried local oats, you don't have to buy steel cut oats. They don't have to be flattened, pressed. You can actually just cook whole oats and they're delicious. Or you can run them through your food processor really quickly and open them up. But so we wanted to give people a sense of what to buy, what to look for, and what you could make out of those things that are currently in season each week.
And when I looked at your blog, you know, when I think of going to the farmer's market, I don't think of breakfast. You know, I think of dinner. And so when I saw the breakfast burrito or a breakfast bowl, which looked great. That's a great idea. And you can get the meat there as well.
And the market menu, we try to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that way, you're not just focusing on like, well, what can I make this weekend or Saturday night or Sunday barbecue? What can I do for the rest of the week? That isn't hard. That isn't complicated, ideally.
So are we at peak market, so to speak, the time that may be the easiest for people to find the things that they need to do just about anything at home for food prep?
All the popular stuff that everybody loves is in season right now. So those tomatoes, the corn, the peaches, the green beans, you know, I won't have to write any unloved vegetable blogs about corn, right? Everybody loves corn, and there's a million great things you can do with it. But if you haven't tried it, if you haven't visited, this is the time to go, and it only gets better. I mean, you asked, you know, what happens later? Well, honestly, the bounty kind of just grows and grows and grows until the end of the outdoor market.
Anything you want to add?
No, just plus all the aromatics. So if you're just, I like to kind of play around in the kitchen. And so, you know, you can throw in, you know, basil and you've got cilantro. And, you know, between all the farmers, you manage to get an awful lot of really good, fresh aromatic stuff that tastes different than what you buy at the supermarket if it's been shipped across the country. It's just, it has a different flavor.
So I'm going to put both of you on the spot. The farmer's market is tomorrow. What are you recommending? What should people look for at the farmer's market, and what should they do with it? You have a recipe in mind?
This is what is great about local produce is that the flavor is so intense that I would challenge anybody to pick up something that they normally think is bland, right? I was reading this really, you know, just a blog the other day looking for a recipe, and somebody, the food writer, had said something about the potatoes being, well, they're kind of bland, and that, so they're great in the curry because you can put, you know, she's talking about the spices. And I'm thinking, my goodness, none of the potatoes I get at the market ever strike me as bland. We do so little to it, maybe a little bit of olive oil, we'll throw it in the oven, we'll throw it on the grill. And so I would challenge folks to just, you know, think of their favorite vegetable and go buy it and prepare it very simply, and then ask yourself, does this taste different?
Do you think people work too hard at trying to prepare the vegetables? Are they covering up the flavor in some cases?
Sometimes, sure. I mean, it depends on what you're used to doing. I think everybody's baseline is different. Everybody's sort of comfort level with playing around with vegetables is different.
And cuisines are different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so what you kind of grew up around. I don't think there's any right way or wrong way, but I guess I'm thinking about in terms of how intimidating, you know, it can be to plan a menu. And so simple, you're really going to be rewarded this time of year for preparing things simply with very few ingredients.
And as of this interview, there's not a current blog post specifically talking about the next farmers market, but Steph, you said you're thinking about doing something. What is it?
Well, I have one. You know, we usually have ideas in the queue half baked until we finish baking them. And one that I have right now is on, there's a summer fizzy drinks post. The non-alcoholic version is already out, and I have the alcoholic version kind of ready to go, starting with blackberries. There's this blackberry syrup that that I've made for years that you add guajillo peppers to, and mix it with, you can mix it with soda water, but it's awfully nice with bourbon.
What kind of peppers?
Guajillo. They're kind of a smoky, dried pepper. You can get at any sort of ethnic food store or in the, you know, kind of Mexican Isle of.
And since you brought up blackberries, I guess it's worth mentioning that you're not just about the farmer's market. You're about local. And there is the Refuge Food Forest in Normal that the blackberries are in season.
Absolutely.
They're there for the picking. I picked a couple of quarts the other night. They're delicious.
For free.
For free, exactly. It's free.
Bring your kids.
It's in a park. You can just go pick the vegetables you want. So I saw a kohlrabi at last week's farmer's market. I saw a lot of them, actually. Some of them were bigger than a softball, right? So they're a little intimidating. I don't know what to do with it. I mean, I know, I've heard you can stir fry it, but what do they taste like? What do you do with it?
I think they taste like broccoli stalks.
Okay.
Personally, I'd never had one.
Who wants a broccoli stalk? I mean, don't you want the florets?
No, I actually like the. I grew up eating them, though. I mean, my mom always added them to stir fries. Like, we ate them as, you know, part of the broccoli.
So did we. Yeah. I find them to be really nice in a slaw. And again, this is...
So you grate them.
So you grate it, and you use it just like you would cabbage. You have to peel it either way, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of tough.
I always peel it. Right, because it's very tough outside. But, you know, cubing it and throwing it in soups, this isn't probably a great week for soup, but...
You could freeze the soup.
You certainly could freeze the soup and take it out later during a busy week, which is something I do all the time.
And you can freeze the cubes and make your soup later.
Right, freeze parts. So.
I mentioned stir fry. You have a recipe for sweet and sour sauce on the blog too. So you could take any of these vegetables and just sort of, you know.
Yeah, super easy. We've done that many nights at home on the fly. Just what are we going to have? And we have crisper drawers full of vegetables. And the next CSA pickup is coming up really soon. And we have to use all these delicious things.
We've really gotten into fried rice. You know, so you have leftover rice is another thing I make in large batches, and then freeze it, and then we just take it out of the freezer and then throw, like you said, any vegetables that we've got sitting around just go in the stir fry or the fried rice.
You throw an egg in the fried rice too?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Local egg?
Definitely a local egg. Or if I have a lot of local eggs, I will just use all of this and make a frittata.
that sounds great. So it's grilling season. You grilled green beans. Jennifer, how did that work out?
I
would never think to grill green beans.
Well, because they might fall through the grates, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that's the reason, actually.
That was my first thought when I read about it. I was like, how did they not throw it? Okay.
I just don't think if that's not a preparation method I think of when it comes to green beans.
Right. It's really no different than roasting it in an oven, right? And so I put it in just a foil packet, but it turns out there's also these grill baskets that you can get, and you can get them locally at the Garlic Press. And it's just imparts like a real nice smoky charred flavor to to it. So, you know, I was kind of looking for something different to do with green beans, and that's what I came across.
And if you can grill a green bean, I assume, Steph, anything, you could grill just about anything.
Yeah, I never liked okra until I had it grilled. If you grill it whole, it doesn't get slimy, which was
you don't
a
like
revelation.
Fried, you don't like fried okra? I thought anything fried was good.
I don't know that I've ever had fried okra.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's my problem.
Somebody just switched off their radio right now.
to go get fried okra. So I'm surprised, Steph, you even had to do this, but you made the case for the local tomato on your blog, even doing a price breakdown. Do you really have to promote locally grown tomatoes?
I think so. I mean, I've heard people, I've overheard people sort of questioning prices, and I've certainly seen people in Facebook comment threads questioning prices for local tomatoes. But you know, if you compare organic to organic, so you compare tomato to tomato, the price is actually pretty consistent. On the blog, I said about $3 to $4 for organic Campari tomatoes locally, and that's about what you pay at the market. And if you're going to can them, you can usually get a box that's even cheaper. So, and then, you know, all the benefits of knowing where it was grown and having it be an heirloom variety that's really tender and much more flavorful than even the nicer varieties that you get at the grocery store.
So the price isn't the first thing someone should look at when it comes to a tomato.
No, I think it's the value. Now, don't buy 10 pounds of tomatoes if you're just going to slice them all, and you know, because they're not going to last long enough. And use some tips for making your tomatoes last longer. I just learned last week that if you keep them stem cut side down on a plate, they actually last quite a bit longer. It keeps the moisture from leaching out. That's a serious eats tip.
And don't refrigerate them.
And don't Definitely refrigerate not. Them. Yeah.
It stops with the flavor production. Is that what I've heard? Is that right?
I don't know scientifically what it does, but it sure doesn't taste great when you take it out. It gets mushy, and it's almost like it's the summer vegetable that matures in that intense heat and humidity, and then if you put it in a freezer,
you just shut that down.
It's like it died.
Yeah. and just because you buy it at this week's farmers market, we talked about freezing, doesn't mean it doesn't mean you have to cook it right away or use it right away. You want to talk about some of the ways you can save some of this stuff for later, Jennifer?
You know, when you look this stuff up on the internet, which is often what I do, you hear a lot about blanching. Like, so for instance, if you have kale, you know, or you've got green beans, that often the advice you get is to blanch it first. So heat up, you know, boil your water and just dunk it, and so it cooks ever so slightly. Frankly, I've gotten to the point where I'm more than willing to just throw it in a bag or throw it in a, you know, freezer safe container and put it in the freezer. And I don't worry about that extra step anymore because I think it really doesn't matter.
What do you think, Steph?
Yeah, I agree. I think depending on what you're going to do with it, for the most part, the things I put in the freezer are going to go in soups or something else that's cooked. And you lose a little bit of texture from the freezer. But other than that, you might be able to save it longer if you blanch it first. But I don't usually bother either, except for tomatoes, because if I'm making marinara, I want to be able to peel them. So if you make a little X on the bottom and dunk them in boiling water, you can actually, the peel will just fall right off.
Yeah, so we did, a friend of mine and I did, you had some of my salsa, actually, Jennifer.
It was great. I expect more this summer.
Well, we're going to do that. But there were just too many tomatoes. We weren't going to peel them. We just threw them in the food processor. And I don't know, did the skins interfere with your...
I didn't notice it.
Yeah. All right.
I was too busy inhaling it.
they were in there, but it was just like a step that I didn't want to take. So... speaking of tomatoes, you also freeze marinara.
Uh-huh. All the time. Oh, goodness. I grew up with my parents making big pots of spaghetti sauce. And
again, you can do that any time of year.
And you can do that. In fact, I just did it Sunday. And so we make a big pot. And if there's local tomatoes, all the better. I didn't actually have great sauce tomatoes this week. So I used canned. But that's one of our favorite things. We use it for everything.
So the blog and local food is obviously important to both of you. It might be a passion, maybe. I don't know if you guys would go that far. Why? Why is it so important to both of you? Steph, I'll ask you first.
You know, I just like things that taste good, honestly, and fresh food from these, you know, farmers that spend a lot of time and effort and money and, you know, our really high quality Illinois soil. It all goes into making pretty delicious food, you know, and I like experimenting and I like a challenge. So going to the market, coming home and sort of challenging myself to prepare things that were done locally, and then just sharing, you know, all the ideas that you can of things that you can make with them, but also just trying to cultivate more of a community around local food. You know, I was blown away by the support that Green Top got in getting going. And it's so nice to have a place to be able to buy stuff that's not just on Saturday morning. So we see the blog as just being another kind of piece in that puzzle of the things that go to support, you know, our communities. Everything, community farming.
Anything you want to add, Jennifer?
Just that there's amazing things happening in our community in terms of the food system. You know, and you mentioned community stuff. When you start to go to the market, you get to know the farmers. And one of the things that became very clear to me was how critical CSAs and farmers markets are to the bottom line for all of these really little farms. And if we're going to have a more diverse food culture, if we're going to really take care of and be stewards of our environment, we have to support these farmers. They're part of really a matrix of our economy even. So that is also an opportunity for our community to grow economically, socially, culturally. It's kind of a sea change, and it's happening here in Bloomington Normal in a way that in Central Illinois in general, that I think it's really special.
You actually have a CSA section on your blog.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing any success with making local food through the blog important to others?
You know, we've had some really great feedback from some farmers, you know, and, you know, farmers obviously are keeping track of their traffic and purchases. And so we've had a few people say, look, I don't really know what's happening, but this is better than last year. And one of the trends this year that people were worried about was that maybe sort of that whole local foods thing had petered out or, you know, maxed out people's interest level. And that actually was one of our real motivations, is that, you know, we were aware of this and we thought, we are not going to let this
die.
You
feel like you stepped up to sort of, you know,
in maybe one
be the mama bear for local
way.
Food.
Well, who knows? Yeah. You know, I mean, you never know really who's reading you,
sure.
Right? But yeah, if it's a small contribution, we're so delighted to do it.
So the market, we're at peak market now. They look good from here on out. Some different
All the way to Thanksgiving.
And so do you already have some things in mind for some late season blog posts?
Roasting. I think we could probably do multiple posts just on roasting and making soups out of. I mean, I think you can throw practically any vegetable on a pan with a little olive oil and salt and pepper, roast it for about 20, 30 minutes, blend it, and you've got soup.
I'm really interested in sort of the food skeptics, you know, the people who say, I hate eggplant, or, you know, I really don't like zucchini. And I think I think people should like and not like whatever they like. But, you know, I wonder sometimes if we've all grown up with a shrinking sense of what vegetables are, right? And it's because, like, you know, everybody's busy. Maybe we grew up in homes where people didn't cook. Steph and I both grew up in homes where, yeah, we're all a little food obsessed. And there was a lot of home cooking. And so, like, vegetables for me, I love vegetables. And virtually any kind of vegetable, any preparation. But there's a lot of folks out there who understandably are like, I don't know about that texture. So I want to win them over.
Sure. It's hard to hate a zucchini, because what has it ever done to you? Right?
Except reproduce like crazy.
That's right, right. Yeah. Sometimes,
just
right.
Make more zucchini.
Well, what people will be relieved at probably is when things frost over and the zucchini stops growing, because there's always a point in the season, like if you have a garden where it feels like it's just going to, you know, creep all the way up to your front door and be like, hello, let me in, you know, and you're like, no more zucchini, it's taking over.
All right, that's Jennifer Swartout, Steph Davison. Thanks to both of you for joining us on Sound Ideas. They're both behind the Legit Local blog at legitlocal.blog. Thanks again for your time. We
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much,
Thank
Mike.
You.
Besides the blog, Swartout and Davison have a Facebook page at facebook.com/legitlocal. The downtown Bloomington Farmers Market and Artist Alley gets underway tomorrow at 7:30. You're listening to Sound Ideas on 89FM, WGLT.org, and GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media.